I can't let him down. Let him down.
He's really been
good to me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's really been good. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just remain standing. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 14 and 1 through 4. Jesus offering some words of comfort and encouragement to a scared bunch of apostles. Getting close to the end. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. And then we won't have time to read on right now what Philip talks about and show us the way and what Thomas says. But down at verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Wow. So he's standing there comforting them, speaking, let not your heart be troubled. But I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send back something else that will comfort you and tell you, no matter what you're going through, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. That ye may abide with you, he may abide with you forever. I'm just here for a little while, but I'm going to send back the comforter, which John said is the Holy Ghost, and it will abide with you forever. Woo, I like that. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day, what day? The day you receive this comforter, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The day I got that, I knew. I knew for sure that he was in me, and I was in him. I want to speak mainly from this teach, from this little verse right here, where he said in John 14 and 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want to talk about I'm already there. I'm already there. I'm there now. And so are you if you have the comforter. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful for your Spirit. It is truth. Your Spirit is life, and it's everlasting. Your peace is everlasting. Your joy is everlasting. Everything, all the attributes of God are everlasting. Help us, Lord, to have those attributes that you have so we too can be everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I will remind you, most of the church does not know, but about 10 after this morning, I miss it. I'll try to watch the clock a little bit, but I get carried away. But we're trying something a little bit different this morning with the choir. We practiced again, and it's very difficult to practice three new songs and remember them from Tuesday to Sunday. So I'm going to allow those that was in the choir to exit about 10 after, and we're going to try that this Sunday. They're going to go upstairs and practice those two or three songs real quick so we can sing more better for y'all when we sing. But I will continue to teach until the scheduled time. I'm already there. Heaven came to earth so that earth could go to heaven. If heaven had not kissed earth, then earth could never go to heaven. You can't go like you are. I'm sorry. None of us were born in sin, shapen in it. We must be changed to be like him so that we can go be with him. And God created Adam and Eve in the very beginning, and he placed them in a location. How many of you have a residence? You see, everybody's got something they call a residence. And sometimes in my business, I'll say, where do you live? And they say, P.O. Box 18. I said, you don't live in that little box. Don't tell me that. You don't live in that little box. Where you live at? And you've got this location where you live at. You may get your mail in one place or another, but you have a place that you live at. And so God took Adam and Eve, and he put them in a location that he called the Garden of Eden. He put the boundaries on it. You can read about the rivers and things. And he put the boundaries so that every time God would show up at the garden, there they were. They were in the location that God had placed them. He knew where they were at. But I will tell you, there's not much more things in my life or that I can think of that's more frustrating than waiting on someone and not know where they're at. You know, around here in South Louisiana, now that we got these cell phones, my phone will ring, and I said, I know what they want. They're going to say, where you at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? We're waiting on you. Where y'all at? And so if you know where someone's at, you'll more patiently wait on them. The other day, I was waiting for a truck to come to my office and make a pickup, and it's an international system or a national trucking outfit, and they said, sent back an email, said, we will be there between 1 and 5. That's okay. So, you know, office will be closed. It's Friday, and I said, well, I'm going to make this shipment, so I'm going to stay. So about 4 o'clock, I start wondering, where y'all at? So I got on that number that I contacted the man. He said, you may need to call them and make sure they're coming. I said, well, I don't mind waiting if I know. If I just knew, I don't mind waiting. So I called the trucking company, and they said, oh, yeah, he's in Lake Charles. He's got 2 or 3 more stops to make, and he'll be at your place probably by 5, but no later than 5:30. And I understand y'all close at 4. I said, yes, sir. He said, will you be there? I said, I'll be here now that I know where. Yeah, once you know where something is, and you can wait so much more patiently. And the world is wondering, when is he coming back? But I'm here to tell you, just as Noah said, it's going to rain. Yeah, I know where he's at, and I know he's coming back. His coming has not been delayed. It's going to be on time. Hallelujah. In fact, he said, I'll do a short work. He said, I'll shorten the days, lest there be no faith saved. He'll be here sooner than you think. And so it's very important to solve the mystery of waiting is to know where you're at. If I just know you're coming, then I'm okay. When we read in the Bible many times, and in this life too, people struggle trying to find God. But I'm here to tell you, you never find God until you first find yourself. You have to find yourself. You have to find where you are. Job was struggling, trying to find out really who he was and where God was at. I've been in a place called the Mall of America. Anybody been to Mall of America? That is a whopper mall. And I wanted to go to a certain store. And, you know, I don't know where to go in at or anything. So I thought, well, I can just go in there and find it. Lord, it's like in the wilderness. I was just going in circles. Finally, I saw this kiosk or whatever you call it, this little map bulletin thing. And you go stand over there, and you stand on a spot, and it says, you are here. And once I find out where I'm at, then I can find out where I want to go. If I'm here and I look around, okay, Kirkland's is right there. It's right there. It's right there. And I want to be there. It's the same way in going to heaven. People are trying to go to heaven so many different ways, but they don't know where they're at. And until you finally realize, I've got to stop for a minute, get me a roadmap, get in a Bible study, talk to someone who knows where they're at. Just ask somebody who doesn't know where they're at to tell you how to get to someplace. And it seems like every time I ask somebody, I pull into a filling station, they're walking out, and I say, hey, can you tell me how to get to Johnny's store? Johnny's paint and body. They'll say, I'm not from here. I'm just... They don't know where they're at either. So how can they help me? So many times people, the world is our masters at seeking advice from people who don't even know where they're at. Find someone who is stable, someone who knows their Bible, someone who is living for God and worshiping God in spirit and truth and say, help me find my way to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And Job was struggling to find out where he was at. He wondered about himself. He wondered about God. And he said this in Job 14 and 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where did that spirit go? Where did that life go? Where did his voice go? What happened to him? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach into the clouds. You know anybody like that? Big, boastful, proud, high and mighty. Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? What happened to him? Once you hit the grave, my friend, give it two generations and they won't know about you. He shall fly away as a dream and shall be found, not found, not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. As soon as you wake up, it's gone. I've had some good dreams. I don't know about you. I tried to go back to sleep so I could finish that dream. I've had some bad ones that I said, Lord, I'm glad I got out of that. Normally I'm falling, but just before I hit the ground, I wake up. Thank the Lord. Behold, Job said, I go forward, but he's not there. And I go backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth his work, I don't find him. On the right hand, he's hiding himself from me, and I can't see him. God, where are you? And Job finally come to the conclusion, well, I don't know where God is. He knows where I am. He knoweth the way that I taketh. And when I am tried, then I shall come forth as gold. He's trying me. It's time, somebody in this auditorium, to stop and find out where you are in life. Stop. Take a minute to go to the map. Get it in a Bible study and say, where am I? God knows where you're at, whether you know where God is at or not. Many times in our lives we wonder, is God in this? The truth is, you're in it. You're in it. God knows where you are. And you'll never find God until you find you first. Moses found God on the backside of the desert. You know, it's amazing. You always remember when great events happen. How many of you remember, and I'm not talking necessarily good events, how many of you remember where you were when you heard about 9/11? Yes. How many of you remember where you were when the shuttle blew up? Yes. And how many of you remember where you were when you got filled with God's Spirit? Yes. You see, these monumental things in your life, it's like the old song, I can take you to the place and I can tell you the time where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace divine. You have got to have an experience that is so deep with God that you say, I can show you the place and I can tell you the time. Hallelujah. I know where I'm at now, honey. But this business about, yeah, I just got the Lord somewhere along the way. No, you didn't get him. When you get God, don't tell me. Oh, I just got to say this. I heard this from a guy of another denomination, and I'm not picking on the denomination, but he said, I had an experience with God. A big speaker. And this is what he said. Right, I'm quoting him perfectly. He said that he was concerned because his mom and dad had like split up and he was going to two different churches. And he'd go to one church and they were real reserved and, you know, everything was done, I guess you'd say, in their order. And he said, then I went to this other church and he said, man, they would pray out loud. And they'd, bless God, you know, I remember the day the Lord saved me. Bless God, I thank God that he healed me one day. Thank God he pulled me out of sin one day. And he heard these testimonies and he heard the preaching. It was so anointed. And he'd go back to his church and it was, shall we gather at the river in the garden. And he said, something's different here. I began to wonder if I was saved. So he said, I went to the church I started in, the quiet one. And he said, I went to the pastor there. And he said, I want to know something. He said, I walked down a gravel road that day late in the evening to get to his house. This is a long time ago. And he said, I talked to him and I said, sir, am I saved? And he said, oh, sure you are. Sure you are. He said, I am? He said, oh, yeah. You don't remember the day you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're saved. You're in the church. He said, oh, okay. Okay. And he walked out. He said, it was dark by that time. He said, I walked down that gravel road, and something inside of me was saying, that ain't right. No, 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 that ain't right. He said, if a bee stung me, I would know it. If somebody flicked me on the ear, he said, I would know it. He went on through saying, I would know it. I would know it. I would know it. If this, I would know it. I would know it. And then he said, surely if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords moved into my heart, I ought to know it. I ought to know it. I ought not have to ask anybody else. He said, I'm going back to that church where they get up like they know they got something. And he said, I got what they got, and now I know it. How many of you want to know where you are? I want to know where I'm at in what my walk with Christ. I don't want to wonder where I'm at. I want to know where I'm at. I don't want to depend on asking you where I'm at. I want to know where I'm at. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but we're having trouble finding out who we are sometimes. Waiting on someone to arrive makes people do crazy things. The children of Israel went astray because they wondered, where is this Moses? Isaiah 63:11, he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit, capital, within him? Where is Moses and the God of Moses? As for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. And so they made them a golden calf and began to worship the golden calf and say, this is the God that brought us across the Red Sea and out of Egypt, the land of Egypt. When you are waiting for something and it doesn't arrive when you think it ought to, you start substituting things in its stead. But I'm here to tell you there's no substitute for the Holy Ghost. There ain't no substitute. You can try whatever you want to try. You can get high on whatever you want to get high on. But there's no substitute for the Holy Ghost. We have got to wait on the Lord. King Saul found out concerning Samuel. He was fixing to go into battle, and King Saul was waiting and waiting and waiting on Samuel. Where is he at? We're supposed to go into battle. I can't go without this offering being done. And he waited and he waited, and finally said, it looks like he's not coming. I'll do it myself. And he offered the sacrifice, and as soon as he did, guess who showed up? Samuel showed up. He said, what are you doing? I thought you wasn't coming. And many today thinks he's not coming. But I'm here to tell you, he's coming as a thief in the night. Not to them that are watching and waiting, but to them that are not watching and waiting. And it'll creep up on them and they will never know it. The Bible says they knew not until the day it began to rain and the day of Noah, and the door was shut. And by the time you realize that he's coming, it's too late. I'm begging with you this morning, don't wait until it's too late. Find out where you are in your walk with God so you can find out how to get where he is. The Lord asked the first question of where. Where? You remember who he asked that to? Adam. Adam, I put you in this location so that when I showed up, you would be there. Where are you at? Where are you?
And Adam was hiding from his creator. He was hiding from the only one that could help him. And so many times,